Good morning, everybody. So for those who don't know me, my name is Jordan Castor. I'm the worship pastor and the youth pastor for Living Stones. And so me and Dan are doing a little switcheroo today where he's going to be singing and then I'm going to do some preaching. So we'll see how this goes. This is my first time. This is my sixth time. So up at Big Church, that's what we call it, downstairs in the basement. Hardest thing about preaching one-offs for Sunday is getting the right tone, because sermons can be a lot of different tones. They can, you know, be hilarious, or they can be somber, or they can be whatever else. And so the tone is difficult because you have a one-off and you don't know necessarily who's going to be there or what everything's going to look like. And so today we're going to be talking about living out your faith, and this is going to go nicely in with what Dan has been preaching about. But I have to be honest, with what Dan's been preaching about through Matthew and the Beatitudes and everything else, mixed with the subway murder, I'm sure you guys heard about that, and mixed with school shootings, and I've heard about lynchings, and of course the assassination of Charlie Kirk, and that's just the stuff I've heard about on my phone. All that stuff mixed together has brought my particular sermon to something a little more somber, which isn't bad. I think it's interesting, the ebb and flow of emotions in life. Anybody remember your first young heartbreak? One day you're like, oh, I'm so in love, right? Nothing could ever go wrong. It's beautiful. And then they break up with you and you're like, the world's the worst. I hate this, right? It goes both ways. It's easy to go from emotional, where it's just feeling great and everything's good, and then it morphs and merges into everything's terrible and my life is the worst. And so it's the ebb and flow of what I'm talking about. And so, like I said, today I'm preaching about living out your faith. Living out your faith. And if you remember from last week, Dan challenged us in a really wonderful way. He's been bringing us through Jesus talking and giving us all these challenges. And so he challenged us to seek after truth. He challenged us to be the light of the world in the very dark world. He challenged us to call sin, sin, right? And not only that, but then to look at our own lives and to aggressively go after the sin in our own lives so that we can be holy like God is holy, as it says. And let me tell you something, living out your faith, I believe, is an outward expression to the world of what you believe inward, right? It's an outward expression of what your commitment is to God. And there's beauty. We've seen it. There's beauty in a believer who is sold out, who is living for Christ. There's beauty. There's joy in a believer amongst all of the chaos. There's beauty in that. And so I'm going to be challenging us today through God's word to live out your faith. I really believe the world cannot afford for Christians to not live out their faith. And we've seen it, right? Because I don't think light touches where darkness is ruling. And vice versa, if we as Christians aren't living out our faith, if we're not producing and showing the light to the world, then what's going to run that? Darkness. The world cannot afford for Christians to not live out their faith. The world is being led by hand to hell. And the thing that stands in front of that is the gospel of Christ. Listen to this. This is Romans chapter 10. It says, everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. That's good. Then we ask how. Verse 14. How then can they call on the one they have not believed in? How can they believe in the one whom they have not heard? How can they hear without someone's preaching to them? How can anyone preach unless they are sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of those who announce the good news. We have to live out our faith, because the cost to the world, if we don't, is darkness and separation from God. And the things of God produce what? Joy, freedom, and love. That's why I believe America is so amazing. We have the foundations of the Christian Bible, and that's what we should be putting our hope in, the Bible. And we're building foundations on these things because that produces joy, freedom, and love. And what comes from the world is the opposite of that. And I've got news for y'all. You've got a young generation. I usually point down here because I got another row, but half my people are gone. So it's you four. Right? We got an entire generation that's watching us very intently. As a youth pastor, I see this a lot. I actually just talked to students on Wednesday about Charlie Kirk because I was curious, what are you guys talking about at school? Do you guys hear about it? Is it just something that I've just got on my own phone? And they're like, oh, no, we have heard about it. Everybody is talking about it. And I said, well, what are they saying? And they say it's 50-50, which that doesn't sound like our world at all, does it? 50-50. Half of them think he's great, half of them hate him. But here's the deal, is that this generation is watching intensely. And I don't know how you feel about Charlie Kirk's politics, but since his assassination, I've seen a lot of his videos, a lot. And for every video that was political, I saw a video of him talking about the gospel. And he was proclaiming boldly the gospel to people who had no chance to hear it otherwise. And now what's happening is this generation is seeing something where he gets assassinated and you have two camps. You have a camp of people who are rejoicing and loving the fact that he has been murdered. And then you have the other side who's trying to decide, are we going to step up? Are we going to live out our faith or not? And so it brings me to a somber tone. Because it makes me look inward on myself. Is my life reflecting what I believe? Am I believing, am I living out what I claim I love, which is God, which is truth? Right now, the eyes of the world are looking at Christians to see how we're going to respond, to see how we're going to live, to see if our claims of God are greater than the things that are happening in this world. To see if we really believe the Bible. This is what 1 Thessalonians says. It's going to give you guys some hope. 1 Thessalonians 4. Brothers and sisters, we do not want you to be uninformed about those who sleep in death. I love that it calls it sleep. Sleep in death because we're coming back. Anyway, hear this. So that you do not grieve like the rest of mankind who has no hope. For we believe that Jesus died and rose again, so we believe that God will bring with Jesus those who have fallen asleep in him. That's good news, right? So even amidst assassinations, even amidst subway, even amidst whatever the chaos is, because that's just the stuff we heard about, even amidst that we have hope, right? Because we don't need to grieve like the rest of the world because we have hope. What's the hope? That we will rise again with Christ. Christ died and rose again. Guess what? That's us too, right? That's the hope. We don't have to grieve like them because we have a hope in something higher. The whole world can go crazy. And hey, that's we expect it. We expect it. So do we live a life of faith and believe that it is finished and done, that the grave is empty, that the enemy's been defeated? Are we living our lives like that? The world cannot afford for Christians not to live out their faith because what's the alternative? I'm going to pray, and I'm going to get started. Lord, God, I just pray that you're here with us. Holy Spirit, that you'd use me somehow. God, that through your word we would discover more of you and your truth. God, that you would convict us and that you would push us and propel us forward to live out our faith in a radical way. God, that we wouldn't just sit by and let the world change us, but God, that we would go out and change it. And so, Lord, we love you. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Woo! All right, sorry. I apologize for starting so intensely, but I mean, I don't apologize for the content. I think truth is truth regardless of how it's given. So, anyway. Introduce myself and give a lighthearted intro check. All right, everyone turn your Bibles to James chapter 1. James chapter 1, verse 19. And while you're turning there, I'm going to kind of set up our time together. We've got a series that we've been doing with the youth that I've been doing. It's called Living Out Your Faith. We've been talking about it for the past 2 weeks. And I wanted to take what we've been doing down there and bring it up here because I think we can flesh it out even further. And so I'm going to cover two main ideas of living out your faith. Two main ideas. First one is we must have a lasting why. We must have a lasting why, and we must understand how to accomplish the goal. Okay? These two things, if we can do these daily, that will help propel us into living out our faith. Okay? Lasting why, understanding how to accomplish the goal. Okay? But the book of James is all about how to live correctly as a Christian. So when you get a chance, go home and read James. Binge it like you would Netflix, okay? Chapter 1 starts really strong in James. It starts off by talking about trials and tribulations, and James is saying that you're going to go through these, but that you should count it as joy, right? He says, don't worry about any of it. Produces something in you. And if I had like two more Sundays, I'd preach on that, but I don't. So then James continues on, and he continues to talk about sin, the evolution of sin, right? First, we're tempted by evil desires, then dragged away and enticed, and then desire gives birth to sin. And if I had two more Sundays, I'd preach on that, but I don't. So moving on. Then James brings us to the verses here, and this is going to be our foundation, right? This is going to be the challenge. This is going to be where we're going to camp out for a bit. So everybody read along with me, James 1:19. He says this, my dear brothers and sisters, take note of this. Everyone should be quick to listen, slow to speak, and slow to become angry, because human anger does not produce the righteousness that God desires. Therefore, get rid of all moral filth and evil that is so prevalent, and humbly accept the word planted in you, which can save you. Verse 22, do not merely listen to the word and so deceive yourselves. Do what it says. Anyone who listens to the word but does not do what it says is like someone who looks at their face in a mirror and after looking at himself goes away and immediately forgets what he looks like. Verse 25, but whoever looks intensely into the perfect law that gives freedom and continues in it, not forgetting what they have heard, but doing it, they will be blessed in what they do. Verse 26, those who consider themselves religious and yet do not keep a tight rein on their tongues deceive themselves, and their religion is worthless. Religion that God our Father accepts as pure and faultless is this, to look after orphans and widows in their distress and to keep oneself from being polluted by the world. As many of you know, I have like 4 to 12 kids, depending on the size of the room. For those new ones, I have 4 children, but it feels like more. 5, yes, a 5th one on the way, that's right. I just love chaos. That's what it is. One question I ask my kids above all other questions is this, why? Why? Why did you do that? Why did you say that? Why did you do that? Right? Why did you take that toy and fill it with water and then take it to your sister's bed and play with it? Why did you eat that unidentifiable piece of food? Maybe. Hopefully. Right? Why is the baby walking around with a diaper on his head and my shoes on his arms? Why? Why? I ask it a lot, Warren, okay? I ask it a lot. Sometimes our why is super important. Sometimes the why doesn't matter as much. But oftentimes what I believe is that the why is the difference between lasting change and just a phase. Right? Myself and my brother-in-law, we challenge each other to a lot of stuff. One time we wanted to see who could stay in 31 degree water the longest. Yeah. And so that involved us going out in a snowstorm in swim trunks and cutting ice out of this pool and then staying in there for 10 minutes. Because why, right? Yeah, you get it. Recently we decided, okay, we're going to get healthy, right? So we decided we're gonna start eating a certain diet and exercise in a certain amount. Now, this is the deal, is that if I don't have the correct why, I am not going to last. It's not going to happen. If my why was only, well, he got in the pool, you know, or if my why was only, well, he's doing it, so I might as well, it's not going to last. It might start me. I might jump in that pool for a second, but am I going to stay for 10 minutes? Maybe. We'll see. Right? So we're doing this challenge, And here's the deal. For every time that we fail eating in a day, or every time that we don't do the exercise that we're supposed to, it's $50. Yeah, I know. And I'm a 4 children with youth pastor guy, you know what I'm saying? So $50, that's $550 at the end of the week possible. That's $3,000 if I don't do it every single week. Ain't no way. I have a why, right? And on top of that, then I also, you know, I want to be healthier. I want to get a little skinnier. I want to look nice for my lady, right? Right? I want to be a good example for my children. I have a why. My why is established. And because of that why, it is going to help me through the 40-day challenge and hopefully beyond. Is everybody with me so far? Okay? So here's my question. What is your why? What is your why when it comes to living out your faith? What is your why? I imagine when people who aren't believers, when they read James, they might be asking themselves why. Why should I avoid anger? Why should I avoid, why should I do what the word tells me to do? Why? Well, as you read through it, you see all these things. And so my question, I would submit to you that if you are only following God to get to heaven, then you're missing it. I would submit that if you are only following God and living out your faith because of what God can do for you, then that's not a lasting why. I really believe that your why has to be because you love God. And now hear me. We talked about this with the youth, and it got a little confusing, but God will bring you to him for various reasons. I had a friend in youth group, and we went to an event, and he's like, whoa, that girl's cute. I was like, yeah, come to church, bro. You can, right? So he started coming to church because he saw a cute girl, and then he got saved. Praise the Lord, hallelujah, right? His reason to come to church was for the girl. His reason to stay in church was because he loved God. And it's the same thing. Maybe you came because a family member invited you, or have you seen a miracle, or God's touched your heart, or I don't know. But the reason you stay with God is different. You have to have a lasting why. You have to. You cannot remain in God for the reasons that don't last. I believe that our why has to be because we love God. We want to serve him, be in relationship with him. We come to God for a lot of reasons, but the reason we stay is different. An ongoing conversation I have with the students is, you know, what is your faith? What does your walk with the Lord look like after high school? Because some of them, not all of them, some of them are brought here just because their parents, right? Some of them are here because their friend invited them. Some good things. However, what does your walk look like once you leave high school? What is your why? What is your why? John identifies, if you ever read 1 John, it's just a bunch of stuff about how God is light and love and all this really good stuff. And so this is 1 John chapter 4. It says, whoever does not love does not know God, because God is love. This is how God showed his love among us. He sent his one and only son into the world that we might live through him. So our why is rooted and established in love of God. And we can go deeper, right? Well, I love him because he saved me. I love him because adding all these things on here. But the point I'm trying to make is a lasting why is a lasting relationship with God. Okay? Lasting why will shape your faith. When you get conversations with people, one thing I've seen that's powerful and impactful is that when you're talking to them about God, you give them your testimony. And your testimony hopefully includes how you're living out your faith for God, produce how God has shown his faithfulness and his goodness and all this stuff. And then you can show, even through the mess, my why is established. And you can produce your why, and you can show them the why, and that's stronger than anything else. So we've got our why established. Next thing that James talks to us about, it kind of is a challenge slash talks, is action. Okay, go back to your scriptures, James 1:22. Do not merely listen to the word and so deceive yourselves. Do what it says. Anyone who listens to the word but does not do what it says is like someone that looks at his face in a mirror and after looking at himself goes away and immediately forgets what he looks like. But whoever looks intently into the perfect law that gives freedom and continues in it, not forgetting what they have heard, but doing it, they will be blessed in what they do. So, we as Christians, there is more to do than just believe and have faith. Not for salvation. Okay, I don't want to get in trouble and never preach up here again. Okay? Not for salvation, right? You cannot save yourselves by works. I want to be super clear. Okay? You can't pray enough, you can't give to the poor enough, you can't read your Bible enough to get yourself into heaven. It will not work. You cannot save yourself with works. Okay? Our salvation is a gift from God. It's by grace through faith you have been saved, not by works, so that no man may boast. Okay? Period. Action, or as we know, works. Works are not the provider of your salvation. Works are the evidence of your salvation. You hear me? Works are not the provider, it's the evidence. So let me ask you this. What is the evidence of a healthy, active apple tree? Apples, right? That was an easy one. Come on, guys, wake up. It's all right. Okay? Apples. We're called over and over and over in the Bible to not just say words, but to live them out loud. Right? You have to have action attached to your words. All of James chapter 2 is arguing that if you have no works, then your faith is dead. He says, faith, if it's not accompanied by action, is dead faith. Jesus says, if you love him, you will obey his commands. Jesus says to remain in him as the branch, and that those who are not bearing fruit, God is going to cut off. You want a verse that'll keep you up at night and light your fire all at the same time. Listen to this. John 15:2. He, meaning God, he cuts off every branch in me, Jesus, he cuts off every branch in me that bears no fruit, while every branch that does bear fruit, he prunes so that it will be more fruitful. Ooh. Right? Because to live out your faith means you must bear fruit. You must produce fruit to bear it to the world. And to bear your fruit means that you must be attached to the vine. Because two verses later, Jesus says that no one can bear fruit unless they're attached to the vine. And so to be attached to the vine means you are attached to Christ. And for that to be the case, that means you love God and you've surrendered to him. And to show that, it means you live out your faith. It's a circle, right? You get saved, which produces works, and your works are the evidence of your salvation. And around it goes. And we get to a place sometimes as Christians where we get really comfortable and we're good at just sitting there and we come to church and that's awesome and we're doing some of the things, but to live out our faith, people will see the evidence of it. People will see the evidence of your salvation. And if they're not, then that means either A, we've drifted from it, from the truth, or we've got distracted by something, or we're trying to be meek, or I don't know, whatever it is. But God is saying, listen, you are going to produce fruit, or you will be cut off. You will produce fruit, or you will be cut off from the vine. Okay? Living out your faith means that you're showing the evidence of your salvation. You can't only do works in the name of Jesus to earn salvation, right? You can't just claim the name and produce no fruit either. You surrender, you give your heart to God and believe in him. You confess with your mouth, believe in your heart, all that good stuff, right? And in that moment of salvation, he knows you. He knows you, right? And then because he knows you and because he saved you and because he did these things, then you start producing fruit. You start showing the evidence of that. By doing what? We know these, obey his commandments, right? The fruit of the Spirit. We sing this song all the time downstairs. Love, joy, peace, I want to do it, right? All the stuff. We start praying. We start reading the Bible. We go out to dinner with people. We cry with people. We do church together. We do all of these things, not because it saves us, but because we want to show the world who Christ is in us, right? He's producing something. He's growing us. I want to pray. I want to read the Bible. I want to, because, does this make sense? Y'all following me? Faith without works is dead, and you cannot be saved by works. Both and. Okay, moving on. So we have this dilemma in James 1. How do we hear the word and the commands and the challenges and everything and move from hearers to doers? How do we go from one to the other? Anybody ever try to paint your spouse? I'm going somewhere with this. There's this trend. There's this trend that Brooke wanted to do where you sit across a table from your spouse and you try to paint them. And so we did this with my parents and my brother and his wife. And so we sat down, you get a canvas and paint. That's a good way to start. And you just look at the person and then you just paint them. Simple, right? Well, I brought the painting that I have. You're allowed to laugh, okay? Now, before I show you this, I want to remind you, I was painting Brooke. Brooke, can you stand up just for a second? Because there's half of people. Okay. This is Brooke, okay? Huh? That's pretty good, right? Yeah, my gosh. What a woman. Thank you. Dark and mysterious, right? Oh, yeah. This is supposed to be Brooke. The first question Brooke asked is, very seriously, is this how you see me? I was like, no. You're the most beautiful woman I've ever met in my life. Obviously, no. This thing is giving me nightmares. Oh, let's put it away. It's going to start manifesting. All right. Right? The second question here, I'll show you again. The second question she asked me is, why did you outline everything in black? I was like, you don't have to do that? What? It never once occurred to me that you don't out, if you look behind all the hair, there's a black line for her head. I outline everything in black because I didn't know you weren't supposed to. And I live in the world. Nothing is outlined in black. You would have thought I could have just looked around and been like, oh yeah, white and then slightly less white. And anyway, I apologize, Brooke. Thank you for forgiving me. Anyway, here's the deal. I cannot accomplish what I have no ability, understanding, or desire to accomplish. Okay? We cannot accomplish what we have no ability, understanding, or desire to accomplish. I have zero arts and crafts ability, clearly. Right? Zero. I'm a creative guy, but that's where it stops. Okay? I don't know how to blend, paint, and make one color, another color. It's beyond me. I have no ability. I have no understanding when it comes to paint. I don't know what to do. Like, it doesn't make sense to my brain. Like, I can see it, and I'm staring at Brooke while I'm painting, and clearly, anyway. And I had no desire, because if I had a desire to be good at that, I could have watched some videos. I could have asked Brooke how to do it, right? I could have taken a class. I could have listened in high school. I'm sorry, art teachers out there, right? I could have done something that showed I have a desire. The answer to how do we live out our faith is in this example. First, you have to have the ability. And I got good news for y'all. If you got your Bibles, you can turn to Romans chapter 8. Romans chapter 8, verse 10. And this is going to help us understand our ability. Romans chapter 8, verse 10. But if Christ is in you, then even though your body is subject to death because of sin, the Spirit gives life because of righteousness. Verse 11, and if the Spirit of him, this is good, I like this, this gets me going. If the Spirit of him who raised Jesus from the dead is living in you, he who raised Christ from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies because of the Spirit who lives in you. Verse 12, therefore, brothers and sisters, we have an obligation, but it's not to the flesh to live according to it. For if you live according to the flesh, you will die. But if by the Spirit you put to death the misdeeds of the body, you will live. Hallelujah. Amen. Right? Listen to me. This is exciting. You have the ability to live out your faith because the same Spirit that raised Christ from the dead resides in you. That's powerful. The same Spirit, right? It's the same Spirit that fills you when you get saved and gives you gifts. It's the same Spirit that helps you to grow. It helps build the church. It helps do all the work that God, it's all of that. That's the Spirit that lives inside of you. So you have the ability to live out your faith. You can do it because of the Holy Spirit. Because God is working in you. God is calling you. God is drawing you. God is doing all the work. We just have to be obedient and obey. Romans 6 says that you are no longer slaves to sin. No longer slaves to sin, and that you no longer have to choose sin because you can now choose life because of your salvation. You have the ability in the name of the Father, Son, the Holy Spirit to live the way God's calling you to. Amen? Then you look for understanding. Okay? First we had ability. Now we're going for understanding, which is nice because once again, it's the Holy Spirit, okay? Proverbs 3, 5 through 6 says, trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not on your own understanding, which means you're leaning on his. Acknowledge him in all your ways and he will make your path straight. In Matthew, he's called a lamp to your feet. In James, he says, if anyone lacks wisdom, ask the Father and he will give it generously. Paul tells us as he's going before the Romans, before the political people, all this kind of stuff, that he's relying on the Holy Spirit to give him the right words, and the Holy Spirit does, right? God gives him boldness. And the final thing you must have is desire. So the understanding comes from the Holy Spirit as you're going through life, right? You get the ability from the Holy Spirit, and the last thing you have to have is desire. Do you desire to see the lost found? Do you desire to share the love of Christ? Do you desire to live out your faith and show the world what it means to love God? Do you have this desire? Do you desire to serve the church and read your word and pray? And by the way, if you don't, I tell the youth this all the time, it's okay, but it's not okay to stay there, right? God meets everybody at different places. And so sometimes we know we should have the desire, but we don't have it. And so what we can do, and I've done this before in my own life, and it's awesome, it's hard, is you go and you run to the Father and you say, God, I don't have this desire. Lord, will you place it in me? And he will. And I can't remember, I don't remember if it was Dan, somebody was talking, they were praying about how they never cried. They just weren't emotional, and they couldn't feel feelings, and they really upset them, and so they made the mistake of praying, God, will you help me to cry? And he said, and I didn't stop crying for a year, right? He said, every single day, I would just wake up crying, and then I'd be fine for a few minutes, and then I'd start crying again, right? It's like when someone says, don't ever pray for patience, because what's going to happen? You're going to meet that one person, you're like, oh, thank you, Lord, right? It's the same thing with desire. If you're like, I don't have this, I don't feel that, I don't, go to your Father. He will give it to you. He will give you desire. You want to hunger for the word, you want to hunger for the lost, you want the words to say, run to the Father. He will give it to you. He will give it to you. Are you hungry for a touch from God? Do you desire the kingdom? And so this is my challenge. This is me wrapping it up, my final challenge. This is verse 22 from James. Do not merely listen to the word and so deceive yourselves, but do what it says. Living Stones, live out your faith with boldness. Be empowered by the Holy Spirit. Submit yourselves to God day after day and watch as he changes your life. And if you're here today and you don't know Christ, come talk to me or Dan. We will show him to you, right? If you're here today and you've been living a life that is lukewarm, pick a side. If you're here today and you've walked with the Lord and you've just gotten to a place where the world is just beating you down and you have nothing left to give, take it to God. Sometimes living out your faith is being broken in front of people. That's hard. I tell Brooke, and I've told Megan this before too, especially when it comes to youth, your testimony, especially the messy and broken parts, is powerful. It's hard to go to someone and say, I was screwed up, I was messed up, but then the beautiful part of the testimony is that you get to say, but Christ, and then you tell them the rest. That's the beauty of being a Christian. That's what we were, but this is what we are. We have an established why. We have a desire. We have this understanding. So go out and live out your faith, Living Stones. If you don't know how to do that, find someone who will teach you. Me and Dan, we're good once a week, but that ain't enough. There's a lot of deacons in here. There's elders that want to teach you. If you want to go deeper, we will go as deep as you want to go. Go out there, search for God. Search for God. Let's stand up and let's pray. Lord, I pray that we would take your word to heart. God, that you would help us to be bold when we need to be bold. Lord, I pray that your spirit would move in this place in a mighty way. God, if there's one here that doesn't know you, Lord, I pray that they would not be well until they are, not physically, but spiritually, Lord. I pray that you would stir up something within them where they just have to understand, they have to know the truth, and that they would have to come to find you. Lord, I pray for those of us who are right in the middle, where we know you, we believe in you, but God, we haven't lived out our faith in a long time. God, I pray that you would give us a new desire, a fresh one, to live out our faith in a real way. God, thank you for what you're doing. Lord, thank you for your word. God, thank you for the chance to just come before you and worship you. We're so grateful. So God, I pray for protection over everyone here. Lord, I pray for blessings. God, I pray that you would go before them. Thank you, Lord. We love you. In Jesus' name we say, amen. Hey, have a blessed Sunday, y'all. Thank you for being here. You guys are dismissed.